On WWCR 5070 Worldwide, we're live tonight. This is the 26th day of October. My, but time flies. We're going to get right into the Word, and we're going to probably get into something tonight that you may not know about unless you are an extreme meat-eating Bible studier from way back. This is seasoned meat that I'll put on your table tonight for you meat-eaters. If you milk drinkers have any trouble digesting what you hear tonight, well, feel free to write or call me, and we will discuss these things and try to bring you up to speed in some of the controversial doctrines that we want to promote to you tonight so that it might stir up your pure heart to think on these things. And that's what we are all about, to cause you, to provoke you, really, to think. And the Bible tells us to think on these things. Most people have just followed tradition, and blindly so. And the Bible said, if the blind fall, the blind. And I'm not saying that you've been blind all your life. I know I was blind for 30 years and trying to study and preach the Bible. Now, I'm freely admitting that I was blind in most of the revelation for 30 years. I preached and I taught and I was very knowledgeable in the Word. I prided myself on knowing a lot of Scripture. But my understanding was unfruitful, as I found out later when I got the true revelation. So there has to be a point in your life when you're fully illuminated to see the light. And the Bible says when you see the light, then you need to, like, follow the instruction and just walk into the path of righteousness, and you'll find rest for your soul, praise Yahweh. So tonight's message, we're going to entitle it, if you got your Bible handy tonight, we'll get you into some things that we think that you will perhaps find very interesting. And that is, we're going to speak on the subject of seducing deceptions and clever imitations. Now, let me repeat that title for you. The message will be titled this, and if you'd like to have a copy of it, you just write Pastor Buddy, and I'll see that you get a copy of this message. We do record most of our messages, and we have them on audio. We have many of our messages on 2-hour VHS videos that you can learn from some of the master teaching that we have on there. These are the master series that we have, and they're all dedicated to doctrine and to the saving of your soul and of your household, if they'll hear you. Now, the Bible said he didn't come to bring peace, but he come to bring a division, a sword, meaning the piercing of the dividing of the veil of the flesh man to reveal the true spirit man. I believe, indeed, that our spirit is willing, but the flesh is strong enough, and the Bible says in this case it's weak, and it is, because he's talking in spiritual connotation here. The flesh is strong enough to keep the flesh man, the spirit man, bound in the flesh tomb. Most people keep this suppressed. In other words, when they hear truth, it perks their spiritual ears up, and the spirit says, oh, please, give me a drink of that. Let me eat from that table of thought. And most people, through tradition and clever imitations of truth, what do you mean by clever imitations of truth? The Bible says there's a way that seems right. And this goes on from the beginning of the cradle to the grave. I mean, the deception is enormous. We've had thousands of years to be deceived, and Satan has been active when most people's thoughts or minds have been inactive. You see, we've only had a printed Bible for the last 500 years. So we're young Christians, if we profess to be Christians, and when I say Christian, I use that term within the context of hoping that you'll understand what I'm saying. If I use God, which I do for the benefit of those who don't know what Elohim means, and I use Yahweh for those who know what Jehovah means. I'm talking about Yahweh, the Hebrew God, Yahweh. And in the Greek term, when we get into the New Testament, our Messiah came in the Father's name. So we don't change the name there either. We use the same one. And we give the scriptures the credit for believing or saying what they say when it's rightly divided. The Bible says to rightly divide the word. Don't add to it or don't take from it, but rightly divide it. And so we'll get into seducing deceptions. Now, the Bible says that in the book of Revelations, chapter 17, it talks about a deceptive church, a whore, a woman, a church that is so glamorous. And so this Christian denominational system, and you can turn on your television or your radios 24/7 and you can catch these master deceptors spewing out Jesus loves you message, and we're all going to be raptured off and we're all going to live happily ever after, just as long as you say Jesus or you confess Jesus or you write in and tie to these ministries and things of this nature. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what we call seducing deception. Yeah, it sounds good. It's sweet in your mouth of when you taste these thoughts that come across in traditional deception. It tastes good. It sounds good, and it listens real easy. You know, we want easy listening stuff. We don't want an old grizzled prophet that'll tell us the truth. They didn't want Christ. They killed him for the truth. They killed John the Baptist for the truth. They killed Zechariah between the porch and the pillar, according to the Bible. They sawed Isaiah in two. They tortured Jeremiah in jail, made him lay in a muddy hole, a jail, a prison, on bread and water. And all the prophets of the past have been mistreated. These were prophets of truth. They were grizzled. The Bible said they wandered around the earth in sheepskin, and they were destitute. In other words, they didn't have anybody to support them. Not even Israel supported them. Israel killed them and dug them out of holes when they were in hiding, and actually put their witness against them. They stoned the prophets. They hated them for the truth. And here I come in this last day generation preaching these controversial subjects that no one has dared to go into, and by men that have themselves suffered for the sake of supporting me. Dr. Gary and Dr. Jack is my principal supporters on the message, and then you, the listener. We need more of you. We have those who have committed to tithing to us, and your tithing will be passed on to Dr. Gary, who is responsible for our financial situation here on the Shepherd's Call. So we need your help. Dr. Gary would appreciate it. I'd love to get your name and your address. I'll give Dr. Gary's phone number if I have time at the end of the broadcast, and you will you'll have a chance to call Dr. Gary and pledge your support to the ministry here. So we're going to get right into the scriptures of seducing deception and clever imitations. And we're going down into the book of Genesis. We're going to start in the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis, and I'm going to start in the 19th verse. For I know him that he, we're talking about Abraham here, and this is Yahweh doing the talking. I know that he, Abraham, will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of Yahweh, to do justice and judgment that Yahweh may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Now, isn't that a strange thing for Yahweh to say right here in the middle of the text of Genesis 18, when Yahweh appears on the plains of Mamre with the two angels, Gabriel and Michael, I presume, one the messenger angel and one the war angel, Michael being the war angel and Gabriel the messenger angel, and Yahweh himself incarnated into a body of flesh, because he ate with Abraham, he drank with him, he had his feet washed by Abraham, oh hallelujah, and he appeared in the days of unleavened bread, as did the angels in the 19th chapter, where they separated from Yahweh and Abraham. They went over to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, like I told you last week, to lay a foundation, a gestalt of thought, if you will, to correct the seducing deception and the clever imitation that people have orchestrated through thousands of years of deceptive deceit. They've laid a pattern of tradition, and they have edged out, they have really muscled out, if you will, wedged out, closed out, locked out the truth. And so all the prophets of Yahweh, the true prophets of God who walk this earth today, have to cry outside the organization or the organized church because of the clever imitation and the seducing deceptions and the millions of people that is spoken about in Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, 2, and Revelation 14, 1 and 2, which is a stark contrast of the true church and the false church. Many, the Bible said Satan and his deceptive deception, seducing deception, and the word seducing is only mentioned one time in the whole Bible. Can you believe that? That if we're to be warned that many will be deceived, why is not more written about seducing spirits? As it is recorded in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. The only time it's ever recorded in the whole Bible is the seducing spirit and doctrines of devils. Now, doctrine of devils? Oh, yeah, oh, that's witchcraft, Pastor Buddy. We know we don't go to a witch no more. We don't go over to the dark side. We go to church. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where Satan and his master deceptors and seducing spirits, they have changed themselves into ministers of righteousness, and they've entered the church world. They've entered the church boxes, if you will, the pulpits, and they've become bell boxes. Places where that tradition is taught, customs of people, not truth. Literally, they'll cast the truth to the ground and they'll prosper. But Yahweh made a covenant here, not to Abraham. Now, I'm going to show you that the covenant is not to Abraham. Yes, those people in John chapter 8 claim to be Abraham's children, but the covenant was not to Abraham. Oh, my. Yes, here we go. Oh, you seed of Abraham, his servant, but you children of Jacob, his chosen. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the covenant promise was unto Isaac. Now, I'm going to talk to you about Isaac and who he was and maybe who his father was. Would it surprise you to know that perhaps, just perhaps, that there was an immaculate conception in the birth of Isaac? Have you ever pondered that maybe Christ, the only begotten spoken of in the New Testament, particularly in John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, that this God-man Christ had others in the past of his own birthing, meaning that they were birthed into being in similar fashion as was Christ, who was overshadowed, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, God Almighty, overshadowed Mary. Now, listen to this here. This is in John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. John 3:16, and I'm going to warn you about John 3:16, because if you look at some of the older Coptic and Ethiopian texts, then this verse of scripture is not even in the original scriptures that we have, the fragmentations and what little ancient manuscripts we do have. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, and the reason that I question that scripture is this. God does not love the world. He challenges you not to love the world. Because the Bible said, he that loves the world, the love of the Father ain't in him. But you say, oh, buddy, God died for all people. Oh, really? Ladies and gentlemen, God did not die for the tares of this earth. God Almighty, the one we claim to be Christ, was a God-man. This God-man, according to John 1:14, was made flesh. According to John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh in verse 14. In verse 10, it says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Now, why didn't the world know him? They weren't his sheep. Now, why would God come into the world to save all the world when all the world weren't his? He said, you're not my sheep. He hid it from these folks. The gospel is a delusionary force to be reckoned with, because the Bible says the way that seems right may not necessarily be the way that is right. So if the Bible may be the Bible, just go back to Genesis 3 again for a moment, and let's quick review. And I've taught about this in the five episodes of The Masquerader. This is a springboard from The Masquerader over to Seducing Deception and Clever Imitations. This, again, is a follow-up to The Masqueraders. We're trying to unmask the false prophets of this earth and pull the mask of deception and clever imitation off, because the Bible says, beware of them that come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're raging wolves. And that's what we've been trying to do in the last six episodes of The Shepherd's Call here with Pastor Buddy. And let me assure you of this very thing right here. I'm going to give you some scriptures now, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments and my statutes and my laws, Genesis 26:5. Now listen, in Leviticus 18:9-11, the nakedness of thy sister, the father of thy mother, the daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or abroad, even thy nakedness shall you not uncover. The nakedness of thy father's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Now listen to what Abraham said. And Genesis 20, and Abraham said of his wife, she is my sister. Saith he not unto me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. And yet indeed, she is my sister. She is of the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. Now listen, it gets interesting right here. Genesis 16:1. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. Genesis 18:10. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee. And he said, now this is Yahweh. Yahweh making a covenant promise to Abraham. Remember, Abraham and Sarah had no children. Now Abraham had six wives other than Sarah, and he had children, offspring, through other wives. And we can name those, but we won't. But you know that, being a Bible student. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to this time of life, and lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. That's what he said. He didn't say, Sarah shall have your son. He said, Sarah shall have a son. Now listen to this one. Now we find the actual event, and listen to the wording very carefully. Now this is a master revelation to pull off the veil of imitation and deception. And Yahweh visited Sarah as he said. Yahweh visited Sarah. And Yahweh said unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him Isaac. meaning son of laughter. Remember when Sarah was in the tent, Yahweh had promised this covenant promise to Abraham, and Sarah laughed in the tent. At this time, his name was called Isaac, or Sons of Thaxton, if you go to Great Britain and the English connection here, and these are the sons of laughter. Now listen to this one, 21:10-11. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be an heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son Ishmael. Now, Isaac, was he really Abraham's child, or did Yahweh visit through a divine law? Did Yahweh fulfill the covenant promise that Isaac would be his son, and the covenant would not be to Abraham, it would be to Isaac? Now, let me go back to Genesis and refresh your memory again in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, and let's go there and look again for a, if you will, a conception son by divine promise. And we'll visit again Eve, and we find her pregnant with two sons. One was, of course, Cain, and the Bible says in John 3:12, that's 1 John 3:12, Cain was of the wicked one. Now here's the terror. Beginning right here is the imitation, the firstborn, who was to receive the birthright. And Satan, being a crafty old chess player on the genetics of life, if you will, he knew that whoever came out of the womb first, that this son would be entitled to the birthright blessing that would have the eternal mark upon his life and upon his soul. He would become eligible, if you will, to enter back in, because he would be an eternal being, not a cursed being that was forever separated from the face of Yahweh. You see, Satan, by transgression, fell and is now eternally separated from Yahweh. Darkness and light has no fellowship. God does not love darkness. God does not love tares. God does not save tares. God does not save goats. Only his sheep. He came only for his sheep, and to them, his prophets, he said, go only, not to the world, but as the world has said, this universal Catholicism that has been deceptively installed when the New Testament was really rewritten. Now listen to me very carefully. Most of, not all, but most of the New Testament has been changed. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, there you go again. That's God's Word. God does not permit anybody to change his Bible. Well, ladies and gentlemen, anybody can change it right now. Anybody. Now, the only problem is, if you change it now, you've got other texts that are written visibly, and you can verbally read and literally compare text to text. And that's why that Satan did not want and fought and killed those who were inventors of, if you will, originators of the printing press that tried to get some of the original copies out of the Bible and bring it to our sight so that we could have a comparison. The Bible says the book was written for those that thought often upon him. And in this case, Satan said, well, just give me the love letter, the Word of God, and let me change it. See, Satan has always been, if you will, a translator. Oh, he loves to translate the Word. And by translating, he can change certain words he can put in, and I give you indications, in the Greek. And we have those copies available. We'll be sending those out to all that wrote us in the last 2 weeks. I'm going to be sending you a copy of the Greek, of Luke 23, verse 34, and Revelations chapter 5 and verse 5. I'll send you the Greek text, and it will read entirely different than your English text. Now, We believe that some of these have been deceptively written so that you may be deceived. Now, remember, our message tonight is this cunning, crafting, seducing deceptions and clever imitations. A way that seems right, but the end thereof is death. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I love your soul. If I didn't, I have a man from North Carolina write me, and he said, Pastor Buddy, I know your message is not about hate, it's about love. I can tell through your spirit and your cry to the lost sheep of the house of Israel that your message is not hate. Most people receive, and what a precious insight of a brother that had enough insight to know that what is crying from my soul is truth and sorrow for Israel. Israel is now blind and deceived through these seducing deceptions and clever imitations. Even they don't know who they are, and they certainly don't know who the Jews are. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been rocked to sleep by those who profess in the bell boxes and other places that the Jews are God's chosen people. And I told you and told you and told you that the book of Revelations warns against those that claim to be Jews and are not but liars. Now, the word Jew was not used until the book of Kings, chapter 16, verse 6. First time the word Jew has ever been used, and they were fighting against Israel. Isn't that strange that these so-calls, the Bible speaks about these so-calls, those that call themselves Jews. And you say, oh, Pastor Buddy, well, my pastor told me that the Jews are God's holy people and that we should reverence them. I mean, we're Gentiles, and we're not even worthy to have the promise. Ladies and gentlemen, how naive and how blind and how dumb and how effective these seducing deception and clever imitations have lulled us to sleep and put blinders not only on our eyes, but over our ears, and stole the reasoning of our own minds. We're now being programmed daily through deception and clever imitations that opposes truth. In other words, humanism. I've told you about our court system, how that we have taken out our Christian heritage, our God, our Savior, the God that walked this earth, Christ, who walked this earth. Our God is no longer allowed to be reverenced in the halls of justice. Even in our Supreme Court, the rules, these liberal judges, and I dare to tell you who they are. Ladies and gentlemen, just look at some of the names that are there. And look at some of the bloodlines that they claim to be, and you'll know the rest of the story. Look into the Congress and the Senate, and look at these that are running now for president. Check some of their bloodlines, and you'll see exactly what Pastor Buddy is warning you to not permit. But it's coming soon that we'll have these snakes, these imitators, these seducing deceptors, ruling over us. Matter of fact, the media empire across the earth tonight is ruled by these clever imitators and these seducing deceptors. Now, let me repeat that. The mass media in large is owned and operated by clever imitators and seducing deceptors. And therefore, what you read is not necessarily what is true. There's a way that seems right, and that's what we're talking about here tonight. Now, in the book of, let's go to, if you will, Hebrews 11, 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now, is that the way it reads in the original Greek? No. Let me read it to you in the Greek. Now, by faith, Abraham offered up Isaac, being tested, and the only begotten was offered up in the one promise, having accepted as to whom it was spoken. Now, entirely different from the way the English text read, that he offered up his only begotten. Because if it had been his only begotten son, then all the other sons that were begotten by Abraham would have voided this truth. But let's suppose that the truth is that Yahweh visited Sarah, like he said, reckoning, for we go back and we're traditionized through seducing deceptions and clever imitations. Why are we turned around here? And the Bible said the day will come, we'll call evil good, evil good, and good evil. Evil good. We'll call evil good. Well, what are we doing today in these Christian churches where they lie through their cunning, crafty, laying in wait to deceive? And the Bible said it would deceive the very elect. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get with the program. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3 and establish the fact that Satan had a literal offspring in the earth. Now, we already know that Adam was the son of Yahweh, that Yahweh was exclusively held the rights to sonship through Adam. Now, if this offspring from Eve, we're talking about Abel here, was Adam's son, and we say he wasn't because Yahweh himself fathered Abel, I believe, as he did in Matthew chapter 1 when he overshadowed Mary, and when he did here in the 18th chapter when he overshadowed Sarah, and when Rebekah was overshadowed. Now, is it possible? Now, here is the question here. Is it possible, if Yahweh is capable of bringing forth a son into this earth, I'm talking about a flesh and blood being, not born to the will of the flesh, but not born to the will of man, but born of Yahweh, or born of God, as it says here in John 1:18, or John 1:13. If that's possible, then is Satan capable, the Nakash, the evil one, the second in command to God Almighty, the mighty angel? Are angels capable of birthing their seed, their offspring, through a woman? That's what you got to think about. Now, I would almost plead with you to purchase you some of the books that have been unbound or left out of the canonization of the scriptures. For instance, the book of Enoch. Now, it's mentioned in the Bible. The book of Jasher is mentioned. Other books that are not in the canonization of what we call holy text. If you would go back to the book of Enoch and read some of the amazing things that Enoch, the seventh from Adam. Now, listen to me. Enoch, the seventh from Adam. Now, listen to me. If Enoch was the seventh from Adam, according to the book of Jude, then Cain and Abel could not be in the bloodline of Adam. Because neither one are listed in the lineage of Adam. Adam's bloodline starts in the fifth chapter. Satan's bloodline is told in the fourth chapter. After they're driven out of the Garden of Eden in the third chapter, where she's pregnant with twins. Now, I'll give you this much to think about. One of these seeds that she had from the garden, she was pregnated in the garden. You say, well, Adam knew her. Adam knew her in the fifth chapter to bring forth a son, and his name was Seth. Adam knew her after the fact that she was pregnant because his eyes was revealed to sexual cause and sexual desire. We know that to be a fact. But she was already pregnant, and she could not be impregnated with Adam carrying these twins. It didn't matter how many times Adam knew her after the fact. She was pregnant from the fact that Satan laid with her, the Nakash, the evil serpent. And then Yahweh had to follow suit to get his child into the third dimension from the fifth dimension of pure spirit plane where the Garden of Eden existed. It just wasn't an apple tree and an orange grove place where man was placed to till the ground. You see, that all came about after the fall of man. Man was to not till the ground. The ground was to yield to him. Man was cursed, and the earth was cursed for man's sake, not man, not Adam. Adam was not cursed. The woman received the curse of childbearing in pain. And the Bible said there will be a continuous war between her seed and the serpent's seed. Genesis 3:14. And Genesis 3:15. Read it for yourself. The serpent had a seed. Your seed and her seed. He's talking to Satan. He said, upon your belly you shall go. And there shall be a continuous war of hatred and strife between the sons of light and the sons of darkness, between the tares and between the wheat. These are all allegorical definitions of what we're talking about here tonight, of the mastermind of Satan, who has brought clever imitations and seducing deceptions and turned his people into the people of God and turns God's people into dumb, heathen old Gentiles scattered abroad and blind. Oh, it's amazing. This deceptive, clever imitation of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. How amazing that I can see the picture tonight, and I hope you can. I hope that Pastor Buddy's painted you a picture that will provoke you to think. And if you have any thoughts along this line, I would ask you to call me here tonight. I'm live in the studio here in East Tennessee, and I'll take your calls. Praise Yahweh. I'm delighted to hear of so many new people that has wrote me in the last 2 weeks. It's amazing. I told Dr. Gary, we have lots of letters of people that have written in, first-time listeners. Now, many repeat listeners, but first-time listeners, it was very impressive that the people that wrote us here at the Shepherd's Call and inquired for information. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll not let a one of you go unanswered. We will try our best in time. We're just like a one-horse operation here, and I'm the horse. So I'll pull the load that I can here. Dr. Gary pulls the financial load, and I'll pull all of the technical load, and I answer all the letters myself personally, and I send information and things of this nature. So I am concerned about you. I will not let you wither on the vine. I will feed you information if you're hungry. Now, if you can't eat meat, you probably don't need to write me. Write your local congregational church, or go down and to the church of your choice on the corner, and eat the popcorn and drink the milk. If you want meat, we're on short wave because we have no voice in the religious organizations today. Our voice is not heard. It will not be permitted to be here. We do not talk the language of the bell box preachers. We are the square peg in the round hole. We don't fit in. We fit out. We're outcast. We're the scum of the earth. We're called deceivers. And when actually, all I need to do to deceive people is to put on a nice suit and preach the traditional doctrine that people want to hear. I know what the people want to hear. I know how to preach it. I've done it before. But when truth comes, it'd be better for you not to know the truth and know it, not obey it. So that's why I warn you. If you're going to call me, you want some information, and it opens your eyes, it'd be better for you not to know it than to know it, not obey what you receive here. So be quick to understand this message. This is a message that will either doom you or save you. And it's a thin line between the two. The Bible says a day will come that truth will become stranger than fiction. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that they will cast the truth to the ground and prosper with their deceptions and clever imitations, with their seducing spirits and doctrine of devils. And we're in that day. Many there be that deceived, many that worship the beast and his image. These are creative imitations. Cain seed rules in Christianity. Oh my, I said it. Let me say it again. The Canaanite seed rules in Christianity. The voice of truth has been smothered. And the prophets, the true prophets, have been outcasted from the house of Israel and from the true Christian church. We have become vagabonds, as was the sentence to Cain. Cain is now sitting in the ivory towers with these great ministries being supported by the blind sheep who don't know no better because they have fell for clever imitations and seducing deceptions by the deceptors. Satan will deceive the very elect if possible. But he said, my sheep, once they hear the truth, My sheep, when they hear the truth, they know not no more the voice of a stranger. They will start listening. Their ears will pick up. The soul will be pierced with the truth, and they will be convicted, and they will want to know more. So if you want to know more about this truth tonight, and you'd like to have a copy of our message tonight, just write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. That's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, I need your help. I'm a poor man. I depend on the gospel. I don't depend. I could have a job. But you see, all the apostolic fathers, they left their jobs. And yes, they had collection place. They took up offerings. Judas was the one that kept the money bag. Christ, when he had an evangelistic ministry, people gave to it. We're to take tithes of the people. You're supposed to tithe to the priest. And we got a Levite priest that received tithes. Now the Melchizedek priest is on. The New Covenant people. We're here. But we're poor. I gave up all of my job, my earthly possessions. I have nothing whatsoever in my name. I own nothing. Everything that I have is either borrowed from someone or someone supports me, and I preach the gospel 24/7. I live by the gospel. And the Bible said a workman is worthy of his hire. So I'm working for Yahweh, and he's always paid me. He's always supplied my needs. I've never missed a meal that I didn't want to miss. I have fasted long days, but I've done that voluntarily. The food was there for me, readily supplied. And I've been for the last 13 years totally, 100% dependent upon Yahweh to supply my needs. I don't beg money. I ask you if you'd like to support our ministry. We need your help on the tithing end so that you can make a commitment to help pay for the truth that we preach, because not many people support us, and you can understand why. So write me tonight, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 22, that's 2284, New Tazewell. Let me spell New Tazewell. It's two words. N-E-W, New Tazewell. T as in Tom, A, Alpha, Z as in Zebra, E as in Earl, W as in William, E again as in Earl, L-L, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, you can call me, area code 423-626-2172. Again, my telephone number, if you'd like to call me tonight. Now, if the line's busy and you can't get through, don't get discouraged. I only have one line coming in. We can put, you can refer you to voicemail. Leave a message. I'll call you back on my nickel. If it's important, if you consider my plight, you want to call back later in the week, I'm here almost any time. Praise Yahweh. So call me. Area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to call Dr. Gary in the morning, this is his business phone, toll-free number, pledge some support. I would love to have Dr. Gary call me up this week and tell me, Pastor Buddy, I received a lot of calls, a pledge of support for the radio ministry of the Shepherd's Call. That's Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. Toll free. Call between the business hours of 9 to 5 during the weekdays, and you will get someone to answer your call, and hopefully you might even get to talk to Dr. Gary himself. Wonderful man. Now, in event you can't get through to Dr. Gary, you can call 1-888-281-7320, and that's Dr. Jack. And both of these men are highly educated in the Word. They know the Scripture. And they also have things that you could use for your health, not only for your spirit, but for your body. And the Bible said, above all, I hope that and trust that your soul prospers, even your body prospers, even as your soul prospers. So these are the men that back the Shepherd's Call ministry, but we need your help. They can't do it alone. Dr. Gary has pulled much of the load himself, and we need your help. So call Dr. Garrett tonight or Dr. Jack, or let me know that you want to pledge support monthly, weekly if you can. Get some of that paycheck out and sit down and tithe the Pastor Buddy and say, Pastor Buddy, this is for the radio show. I'll earmark it. It'll go down to Dr. Gary. And these brethren will see that we have more radio time. I'd love to be on 24-7. I ain't got nothing to do but preach the gospel. I could do this 24-7. Praise Yahweh. And still the half wouldn't be told. Deception, clever imitations, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and you know that Yahweh is soon coming, and he was in the form of God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. So if you want to be equal with him, you can become equal with your Creator, who himself became a man like you so that you could become like him as he became you, because it was impossible for you to become him. You see what I'm talking about? You see, you couldn't go up there to him, so he came down to you in the form of a man, the only begotten, as sons of Yah. That's what you are. You are begotten, not of the will of man or the will of flesh, but of the will of God. Oh, hallelujah. These are the wonderful truths that counter clever imitations and seducing deception. So, remember, the power of Yahweh and the truth of Yahweh is always so unbelievable that you wouldn't believe it, though a man declare it unto you. And I hope and trust tonight that Yahweh will ignite your soul. He will light a little spark, a little candle of hope, and that something I have said in a way that will help you to understand that the truth is forever settled and nothing can be added to it, nothing taken away. But it has to be rightly divided. And we believe that the enemy has crept in unaware, and they have mastered and they've doctored and they've pulled some of the certain texts out of the Bible. They've hid it, and they have masterminded so much imitation to deception that Paul was moved to say that in the last days, that perilous times will come, that men will be lovers of their own self, proud boasters and blasphemers. And ladies and gentlemen, that day has come when seducers have waxed worse and worse. Yahweh bless you. I'll see you next Sunday night. This is Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you aboard tonight. Give me a call. I'm waiting on you. I'm looking in the mail for your letter. Yahweh bless you. Till next Sunday night, 8 o'clock Eastern on WWCR Worldwide. Yahweh bless.